And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. I almost didn't make it. You know, I'm, 2 minutes and you're on, and get out of the shower and boom, I'm here, and hello, I get to tell you about my weekend. You know, that's what we're going to do. First thing is, Sunday, we went to a service for John Buttrick's wife, and she was way nicer to all of us activists than we deserved, certainly me. And very class woman that had a differing political opinion. But it was, John Buttrick is a magistrate for the federal court in U.S. District Court. And he was a libertarian candidate for governor in 1994. He was a respected attorney with a large firm. He then ran for state legislature in 98, I think. And it's been, he was also the platform committee chairman for the National Libertarian Party for several years, and he's part of the executive committee. And that was like, you know, the darkest days of his life, he says, you know. And he's a real high-level, hardcore, no-compromise, Ron Paul-type individual that he's not religious, you know, he's not traditional patriot type in any way, but what he is very determined, concerned, and effective in his advocacy for freedom. And I really stayed in touch with him, tried to let him know that the door is open and we want to, you know, advocate for freedom and whatever I can do to help. And I tell you, I'll wait a month or two before we talk. I mean, he has to, you know, reorganize his life after the death of his wife and so on. But his primary goal was her. You know, when she's diagnosed with cancer in 07, there was nothing else that was going to happen other than his career, and he even developed a way that he could spend more time with her as he did. That's why he did the magistrate thing. It's like a part-time judge. With her passing, other options open up, and we'll wait, give some time, and then we'll talk about it. But I'll tell you how important this is. John Buttrick's run in 94 is a hardcore, no-compromise, high-end, Harvard law grad, big freaking law firm, and all of a sudden the governor wants him out of politics, go be a judge. Okay, that's how bad it was. The effect that he had on them is that I'm willing to kind of hold off, you know, a lot of, you know, this has been going on for years, to hold off on a lot of decision-making that I have for things that I do depending on what availability he has in the fight. I am of the opinion that we are in the final days of this empire thing holding up in whatever bubble gum, scotch tape and glue that they're doing to keep this thing together, and there is going to be an after. It was never more apparent than after the Arizona Breakfast Club Saturday. Normally, Monday, I would, you know, take off and I'll spend time with the grandkids and so on, and they'll be over right at the end of the show. I'm going to have to, you know, ignore them for just a little bit and sitting on my lap and everything as we're finishing up and doing. I did a lot, bunch of the work I would do today, last night. I'll have to edit the show with them. We'll have some fun with it. We'll make it a daddy and a grandpa in the studio project thing. But I tell you, the reason I wanted to talk to you today is, keep me alive. This is one thing, a lot of people, they ask, how is it that I'm able to keep doing the kind of stuff that we do and have the effect that we do in this state with all the craziness that swirls around and so on, and, you know, why are you still breathing kind of thing? It's because I have been very, very, very to a fault open about everything I do when we do it. And the reason is because if you don't, then you build up enough accumulative information and so on that, you know, you're worth taking out. You know, if you know, I'll give you an example. I tell this story every now and then. When I was in high school in 78, 79, around in there, there was a reporter. His name was Don Bowles. He was an investigative reporter with the Arizona Republic. And all of a sudden, he's downtown. He's doing a story on corruption and the political blah, blah, blah. And he's got his teeth in. He's accumulating all this information, doing the interviews. And they know when this goes out, man, it's going to be bad. They call him down and have a meeting. Nobody shows up, goes to his car, and boom, blew up in the middle of Phoenix. Ben Affleck is to do the movie. You know, I keep hearing about that, and you know, we'll see what happens with that, because, man, they don't want the movie made. It's still too close. There's too much of this stuff still going on here. Same people. But they created a thing they call the Newsium, and it opened in Washington, D.C. Recently, in the last couple of years. There's an entire area, a wing or whatever, that has his blown-up Datsun. You know, sitting in there, you know, all mangled and so on, and part of the story around his investigation and so on. What happened, it resulted in what they called the Arizona Project. There was an organization that just was created in the late 70s called IRE.org. You can go there now and research it, or you can do the Arizona Project, IRE. IRE stood for Investigative Reporters and Editors, and what it was is there were people that were mobile. I mean, you know, they're Lefty, the violin case, Hood, what's-his-face, would go from New York to Chicago to Detroit to Phoenix to L.A. to Atlanta to Miami to whatever. As these bad guys would, you know, go around being bad, there would be reporters, you know, that come to the attention of, and the police were part of the problem. And reporters were part of the problem, too. This particular reporter joined this organization they had just created, Investigative Reporters and Editors, because when a new guy, that was Hood De La, what's his name, from known well in Chicago, and he would move to Phoenix, now they had no idea. He's got to go a whole background thing and everything, and so, and the reporters there would share their files with the reporters around the country so they didn't have to, you know, go a year, two, three before they found out, you know, who was running what and who these guys were. So that was the agreement amongst these guys that they would, you know, start sharing. And I think it was less than a year. They created this concept that they were, you know, not going to go to their local law enforcement buddies and so on. They just start sharing files on their own because the local law enforcement, because the drug war had just got going. I mean, that was declared by Nixon, man, a drug war. So within 10 years, man, it was damn, you know, it started getting just what you'd expect. All the corruption, the money, the, you know, everybody that, except the people, loves the drug war. You know, law enforcement, drug kingpins, you know, the movers, the shakers, the politicians, the everything, always have us some drug war. Well, there's a bunch of other stuff that was going on. He accumulated this information, and it made him dangerous, and they blew him up because they didn't think ahead. And then the dominoes started to fall. here in Arizona. And it's building up to Saturday. I'll tell you all about it.
Quantum vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com from Big Head Press.
Imagine someone in your community getting in their car, turning on the radio, and hearing the Liberty Radio Network. You can make that vision a reality with your own micro radio station. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how you can put our programs on the air in your area. You can have lrn.fm running around the clock, and you can even add in your own local shows. Building a radio station is simple, but programming isn't. That's where lrn.fm comes in. Learn more at broadcast.lrn.fm. That's broadcast.lrn.fm. Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. Hello. Okay, I'm going to, you know, share my mind. The Next News Network is having, you know, issues with getting our signal up, doing whatever. So we'll see. Hopefully at least we'll have the audio and the video will be available later, but you can just listen to the silky tones. The what happened Saturday, I just give you a blow by blow. Wednesday, we started the production of the DVDs for the safe thing. Now, these, okay? Now, what happened is Donna put up, says, hey, you know, anybody come wants to help? You know, there's always new guys or something or somebody, you know. And you can always tell, you know, the... You know, they, them, those. They're the first to come, last to leave oftentimes, or they just pop in and out, or they try and fade in the background, or they just want to get themselves a look. And you're like, what the heck? Now, they'll hear, you know, different things going on, and I tell you what happens. This has been my experience. And a lot of the revolutionaries probably, you know, have had this particular experience, and it repeats itself over and over and over. They underestimate you. And us, all the things that we do, they underestimate you. Doesn't mean anything. It'll never go anywhere. Means nothing. Okay, that was just a flash in the pan for 08. It won't continue. But another 4 years, and then boom, here comes 12. There's people, you know, they're taking over the party. They underestimate you right up until they start to overestimate you. There gets to be a point to where they blame you for everything. Now, they did it. It's almost like a witch hunt. You know, it's like, you know, get the libertarians, you know, the well water went dry. I mean, you know, it's that kind of stuff. So I've been through this so many times, and fortunately, my personality and, you know, close friends, and we know what's going on and why and how they're thinking and so on, and we got enough infiltrators in and around everything, and we're the, you know, the valet or the caddy or the waiter or the busboy or the... You know, the room attendant of the maid de la whatever, and we just hear everything. And it's amazing how invisible certain levels are. I'll give you an example. We knew what a lot of things going on in media was because they were the copy boy. You know, they worked in the mailroom. They were the sound editor at the television stations. They were the guy behind the camera on field reporting. They were the guy that did, you know, what, I mean, and then they would sometimes move up. They graduate Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at ASU, and they go work at the, you know, news department of the radio station, De La whatever, you know, sitting there doing the social networking for the rock station that shares the same building with the newsroom that they need him to go in and help with the IT of the yada, yada, yada. And this one girl that works in the so-and-so and the, I mean, we're everywhere. And this has been going on since the 90s, early 90s. You know, it's not a secret. Assume we know everything. And oftentimes I would say that. They come and they start with their BS. Well, I go, you know, assume I know everything. You know, quit insulting me. You know, I know you're BSing me. You do go around and say stupid stuff like, in 10 years we're going to have surveillance drones. Well, hell, that means you already have them. You know, so I'm just... And we already knew anyway. So I'm like, you know, come on. Friday, a gentleman came by to help. Nice enough, you know, help, I don't care. You know, he's asking all the other people here, you know, how you guys do this? Where'd you get the money? Why did you, you know, what they don't realize when I go, I got 30,000 DVDs back here, that during the Lovolution of 8 and 12, we had so many donated. We've had, God, I bet you, I got 30,000 left of over 200,000. It was the Iowa event where they had the Christian organization and the anti-taxing of the whatever that invited all the Republican candidates except Ron Paul, even though those organizations had endorsed him as a congressman before. What a great, wonderful example human being he is. But the party is like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, your bread gets buttered, boy. You know, and this Iowa thing is all about us to put on our pageantry for the guy that we already picked anyway, and Ron Paul ain't it. Well, this was in 07. You know, this is like May of 07. At that event, we had taken a whole bunch of stuff that we had prepared here. You know, the first DVD things that we'd made of YouTubes, and we'd done a lot of, you know, the bumper stickers and people that were donating all kinds of stuff. They worked in the industry testing the big digital printers or whatever. Well, might as well test it, you know, with a bunch of different color and cool and reflective and whatever Ron Paul stuff. And then it wind up on my porch, and we just cut it all up, got it all ready, and put it in two bags. And I mean, how am I going to distribute this? We can just put, you know, like a kit. So I went down to a party store thing, and they had these little, you know, like party bags for kids that when they go to birthday parties and you have a little Spider-Man bag or you got a little whatever and you just put a bunch of junk in it. So I got all kinds of different bags, and I just started, you know, stuffing them with this stuff. So when we got there, and there's thousands of people, you know, at least hundreds of people, it was, God, you know, it was more people than they had for the other event, and Ron Paul had one next door that was bigger than in your face. And this was that was the spark. That was when Dr. Paul said, thanks for letting me join your Lovolution, your revolution. And he understood this was a people thing, you know, and they were more than happy to endorse him to go give him what for and in our name, you know what I mean? Go kick ass. And that's when the bag started. Then we started having, we just got by the gazillions, you know, tens of thousands, 100,000, you know, of these white lunch bags. And then we got rubber stamps made that said Ron Paul Revolution on it, the Lovolution logo, and we just stamp them. Everything we had to do by thousands. You had stations of people. We had assembly line. It was like a Ford factory making Model Ts. And we just mass produced this stuff. Had to get more and more duplicators to, you know, keep up and so on. That's why we have three duplicators. So, I mean, it gets to the point to where, I mean, you know, God, we saturated every freaking Occupy thing, every Tea Party event, everything. I mean, how many, you know, thousand can you create? And then we share them with different people around. And that's why a week ago Friday, there was a gentleman that came by, wanted to talk to me because he, you know, heard the legend of Freedom's Phoenix and everything all around the country. He's regional coordinator for the John Birch Society. But when Glenn Jacobs was here, you know, he helped me, you know, Glenn, get over here and help me, man. You know, we got to, you know, convince this guy. I have not talked to him or the other people. I'll probably do that today. Because a week ago Friday, instead of coming to the party that we had here, which he was invited to, he had an event that he attended with John Birch supporters and so on here. There has been a gathering of forces for a lot of different things, and everybody's negotiating who's going to play what role. When we come back, I'll finish my thoughts on that and how it built up to Saturday's Breakfast Club. This is going to be interesting, man. You guys stay tuned and just, you know, lean back and chill out, and I'll tell you a story.
Did you know that Free Aid is a mutual aid, educational, and networking organization? At Free Aid, we support volunteers who provide first aid. We do outreach to the public about health and safety, and we bring together medically skilled freedom lovers. Free Aid is made possible by your generous support. Donors can receive great gifts like first aid kits, t-shirts, silver dime cards, and hoodies. The Free Aid Silver Dime Card Project is sponsored in part by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Freedom's Phoenix, and Don't Tread on Meme. Visit fr33aid.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Oh, we're back up and in three. Hello. Hi. I drug it out. You didn't miss too much. All right, this is what we're going to do. Sunday, we went to memorial services for John Buttrick's wife, Mary Ann Buttrick. She was diagnosed with cancer in 07, passed away a couple weeks ago, memorial service yesterday. And it was very nice. It was a celebration of life. It was, very nice. And the only thing that I want everybody to know is this very classy woman, very educated, very nice. John was very much in love with her. And she treated us, and me in particular, much nicer than we deserved. Even though she had differing philosophies, she was far more, government supporting position, but she shared John with us, and he's hardcore. In fact, when he ran for governor as a libertarian in 94, they got married during the election in like September. And we, did everything we could to embarrass her. I mean, it wasn't intentional, I'm a little jabbing, but. It was just, them damn libertarians, man, they were not mainstream. and we never really wanted to be. That was not our intent. And that was one thing that John learned as he would move up and become the platform chairman of the National Libertarian Party, is that, they wanted to be perceived as mainstream. Yeah, we're mainstream. Mainstream, American mainstream. And I mean, what's going on is definitely not mainstream. I mean, let's see a story up on Freedom's Phoenix. In 1960, Detroit was the fourth largest city in America and number one in per capita income, Detroit. And now it is the worst. And that's where RoboCop did, Omnicorp, whatever, would take over the corporate city rule RoboCop. Homeland Security, they'd have all these robots going around kicking butt and everything. I mean, man, if it isn't clairvoyant. But I always think that, freedom comes out where it's the worst for freedom. Because it becomes obvious they don't have a choice. What happens when all that cheap land, manufacturing buildings, warehouses, open space, what happens if they were to just throw their hands up and said, you're free, we're going golfing? Now, peace be upon thee, no more zoning, no more you can, can't, permission slip, pay off, go. They're afraid to do that because if they did, it would explode into productivity. They don't want that. They, them, those. They can't have an example of leaving people alone being an economic engine because it doesn't. Their goal isn't for everybody to be more prosperous. It's for them to be more prosperous. And in control. I am willing to make some life decisions on how much time I put on different things and various depending on the availability of John. So in the next couple of months, we're going to be researching a lot of options, a lot of things, buying land, doing a lot of different things, getting ready, I get more worried. I buy more, food. And once I got, another chunk of time for that and another family member or extended family or friends that we can, have not die for another few months or something, maybe I'll buy some ammo, because can't have enough ammo. But the problem is that it's heavy. You know, if you're going to be lugging around something heavy, you know, it might as well be some precious metals. But then that's, you know, then you got precious metals you got to deal with. And I tell you, it's like when you watch these Survivor things and they go, you know what I'm going to need? I'm going to need my knife. You know, all I need to survive is in between my ears. If you don't have, you can't live off the land and doing kind of whatever, man, you got issues already. So that is a good attitude to have. You keep yourself lean, you know, you kind of, you start accumulating stuff and you just got other burdens, you know, but you need to, some goodies. And what's more important, you know, having a whole bunch of stuff or the knowledge to be able to make it in a and a knife. So we've been working on that a lot with the magazine. You know, the e-zine, we put a lot of, you know, this kind of material. We got a category on Freedom's Phoenix called How To. You go on the top of the page, right below the bird logo, the phoenix, at the top left, you'll see the red that says Magazine, Radio, TV. To the right of that, it says Archives. When you put your cursor over Archives, you'll see where the real power of Freedom's Phoenix is. I would say most of our traffic comes from just searches on the internet because we have, over 7 years, accumulated a couple hundred thousand headlines, you know, by category. When it drops down, the second one is a search by keyword, and the second one says contents listed by subject. You click on that. We create, I let the contributors create their own categories. If you don't think we got a category, it fills in. And of course, we get a lot of duplication and so on. We'll clean it up one of these years. But it, one of them is how to. You go to H, you go to how to. How to make an alcohol burning rocket stove. How to do a wood fire, de la whatever. How to survive in a cold night with a, you know, a single yada yada. I mean, you know, how to. Then we got off grid living. Okay, that has a lot to do with solar and different things, energy. You know, we got to, you know, so housing, all kinds of things that, you know, and a lot of times the subjects, we have three to put them under. You know, something may go under how to, food, and off-grid living. I mean, you know, it kind of, so it's not missed. We do this because I am pretty confident there's going to be a deprivation. But it doesn't have to be for everybody. And when they find out that, you know, hey, thanks, preppers, for getting all accumulated for us, we're going shopping with our SKSs now, and it's ours. So, you know, you got to keep these things in mind, and a lot of times, just to keep yourself safe, and you don't want to have to hurt anybody, you know, so you can keep breathing in and out, you just, you know, go where they can't find you, at least for a while, you know, and the government's going to be busy with their other stuff. Because when it starts getting bad, I don't know who I would fear more. You know, the government that's going to be, you know, going to have their hands full already, or the people that are the victims of it. So here comes a zombie apocalypse, World ZX, whatever the heck it was, Brad Pitt and the zombie fighters. I am of the opinion that one of the scenarios available to them is plague. You know, I remember a book. I vaguely remember this. It was called 86, something 86. And what it was a virus. And God, man, this was in the 70s, 80s I read this book. And the whole point of it was that there was a virus that lowered people's intelligence down to like 86 IQ. It was barely they could, you know, get in the street just to, you know, complain. You made us dumb. You did, you know, they just didn't have the mental ability to figure out or think more than a day ahead of time. Or, you know, they became a bunch of hairless chimpanzees or something. I mean, it was, as the book went on, it just demonstrated the advantages that we have just by having the ability to conceptualize and think and higher cognitive thinking and using the cortex a bit. And what would happen if we just lost a little bit of intelligence? You know, how would our world work? Well, we're seeing it already. Do you think we're smarter and more intelligent and able to manipulate the land than, I don't know, even 5,000 years ago? That recorded history, how much different do you think they were? I mean, 5,000 years, you know, so many generations, all of a sudden, you know, they got really smart? Or is it just the accumulative information and access to it and the ability to build on top of ideas and the fashioning of different materials that other people would work and do? I mean, how many geniuses does it take to build all the components to make an iPhone? And that's kind of some of the studies that have been done. No one knows how to make everything. I mean, heck, just the mining, the fabrication of things. And so on. Society is getting to the edge. What is the best thing that we can do? And what are the bad guys going to do to, you know, maintain their control? When we come back, I'll share what happened this weekend at the Breakfast Club Friday. Because it just confirms what I've been fearing.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Yeah, from your lies.
Break free from your lies, yeah, so
uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. That's what we do here on Declare Your Independence and Freedom Speaking. Okay, this is what's going on. Friday, we had a gentleman come, and he's out there where Donna and I are busy. I mean, it's magazine week. Thank you. So she is working on the magazine, which is the week of. I mean, it starts like, you know, Saturday, and it goes for 7 days. I mean, it's just a, you know, thing. We get the magazine going. I still got, you know, I'm the last guy out there. It's all done, so on. I'll finish up whatever article and put it in, do my spiel, share that with you. Then I'm in here busy editing, doing, a gentleman comes by, yeah, yo, what's up? Yeah, you know, there's a station help, and Gary and Verta were going at it, and Chris and Dean come by, and they were picking up stuff and going and distributing and so on. And the one thing that we learned is when we do these kits, these educational kind of let them know that the people know, they always believe that they have control of the mind of the people, that they're able to frame it, that they're the only filter of news, that they're the ones that get to say what things are. It's not the news, it's the spin on the olds. You know, they don't so much tell you what happened as much as they, you know, want to interpret it for you what happened. And I remember the editorial page editor of the Arizona Republic was at the Breakfast Club one time, and this was before I, you know, kind of started facilitating it. There was a couple hundred people at this one particular event. And I just wanted to throw a monkey wrench into the business. And I think it was about 1996, 97, around in there. And I go, how many months before you think the internet will replace the printed paper? And I'm doinking them. I mean, I know it's going to be, you know, probably more than some months, but, you know, years. Well, we're certainly seeing it now. I mean, you know, of course, this is like 15 years later, but, you know, I knew it was coming. You know, a lot of us that knew anything about anything, you know, certainly on the effect of waking up individual minds, as many individuals as we could get to. And a lot of times you get to a core group and they're the most, you know, kind of the alphas, you know, they have a big impact on people. I mean, you want to get a trend started in a high school, just, you know, have the football captain or the head cheerleader wear a freaking certain color scarf hanging out their back pocket. And all of a sudden everybody's doing it. I mean, you know, it's that kind of thing. So I set the question up. I always did questions on paper. You know, they go up, they never did the audience thing. We pretty much do the audience thing now, but it used to be that you would send them up on paper and they would be read and the people, the guests would answer them. And that was one way of doing it, certainly when you had, you know, big crowds. And it kept it down to where people aren't giving speeches and so on. And we're able to get away with it more because, you know, my personality, I can keep it kind of under control. Okay, skip to the end, you know, whatever. I'm not shy about that. So we don't have to use the paper, but it was good. We may do that again. You know, Donna, we'll talk about that with Frank and so on. So what happened was I asked a question, how many months before
the internet takes over from the printed page. And he said something that was, tape, please. I mean, we have this on tape. I would have paid him money to say this. He goes, you need a conservative newspaper like the Arizona Republic and a conservative editor like me. His name is Paul Schatt, and he's passed away a few years ago. And he goes, you need a conservative newspaper like the Arizona Republic and a conservative editor like me to tell you what you need to know. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, yep, that's exactly what. Now, of course, the definition of conservative, changes, but it's just, the concept of one, that the Republic was conservative to begin with, and two, that they are going to determine what that means, and three, what we need to know. So I'm like, it is over. These guys have no idea. So that was our competition. So in that mindset, what has happened is the Republican Party is kind of perceived as the bastion of defense of gun rights to some. And the ones that have still have that lingering in their minds are older. They're certainly, and I'm getting older. I mean, heck, I'm 51 now, soon to be 52. And I'm going, this is... I'm looking at these guys because remember, when I'm a, 25 to 30-year-old activist, that means people 10 years older than me were 35, 40. And it was like you hitting your 40s, you're kind of in your prime and influence and worked up. And if you're concerned or been doing it for any amount of time, all of a sudden you got all kinds of shiny badges inside and behind. And I go to meetings and I get to share mine. And I express and got my little group of that goes and gets, this legislator in this district elected. And they come to me because they love me. I get them elected. And just move on up. We were not about elections. You're not going to get any votes if you're confusing me with someone that gives a crap. I don't trust the system anyway. Hell, you're still voting? What they didn't understand is we were working for culture. All this other voting, that was just a side effect of that. Now they're coming up against that culture. It's their kids. Hell, it's even their grandkids. You haven't talked to a 13-year-old Ron Paul supporter? He'll kick your ass. I got a Facebook account in a few weeks of time. I'm going to find out what's what. And Grandpa, Dad, So does Dr. Paul say. Yeah, you get their dad to look at it critically. If they have any respect for the truth or certainly understanding why their kids are so adamant about, freedom's answer, what's the question? All of a sudden, you got kids bringing them in to visit Dr. Paul in his congressional office in Washington, D.C. Yo, what's up? This, tons of stories of this over and over and over and over and over and over and over. God forbid they go to college, and they get exposed to, just some truth. And there are a lot of good people in this country. So I could see what was happening. Inside the party in 08, they got invaded, and they didn't know what the heck to do. Then Dr. Paul with Campaign for Liberty and Students for Liberty and Young Americans for whatever. And, I could see, this. They have history of this. A lot of times, a lot of these organizations or groups were kind of co-opted by a lot of people, and they grew into things that, became part of the establishment, blah, blah, blah. With the internet, that is way more difficult. So what has happened is now the serfs are inside the castle walls, and they don't know what to do about it. They change rules, and they put more consolidate power outside of the party. Precinct committee can't, and doesn't matter, and we rule from whatever and rules and national, and get over it, and you lose. But in the process, you're creating an awareness and an understanding of how the system works and who's really doing what. And if you can get kind of a head start or kind of leap forward in understanding from people that have been around for a couple of decades and seen the cycles and the people involved and their methods, well, then it's just you don't have to relearn everything. You just say, yep, confirms it. You're absolutely right. They're there. Hell, they'll even admit it. Well, this is what's been going on over the past little while. Inside the Republican Party, there is, different factions and so on. And one of the most passionate are the, even though they may make up a large portion of them are the Mormon community and so on, but it's not really, I think, that so much as it is a mindset that that they have, and all the other people will join. And it'll be on things like immigration. Damn Mexicans. Changing culture, taking jobs, coming here to be free and, you know, mucking up my whatever. You know, so I can see what's happening. You know, there is an influence on Arizona culture and politics that they think they have, and some people think they have, but there's no demonstration of it. I give you an example. Russell Pierce is a gentleman, you know, big, boisterous, kind of, you know, I'm here and, you know, yeehaw in America. And a lot of people are, you know, influenced by his confidence and his bravado and, you know, there and here we go. But he lost the only recall election of any legislator ever even brought to the people here in Arizona, and he loses it. Then he runs for re-election, and he loses in the primary. Then he's at, and his followers and so on, at a 480 people in one district. You know, 400 of them are, you know, supporting LDS members, Mormon, here we go, guys. They go to the convention. They have 1,500 votes. 1,000 people show up. 500 are proxies that these guys bring. And they still lose. But the influence, and they're targeting the revolutionaries, trying to go after them and give the impression that they have political power. And there's no evidence of it out in the people. But they're scared. And that makes them dangerous. More than
I am
hour.
Richard. A study was published last week in the Human Communication Research Journal exploring whether an inoculation can make people more averse to conspiracy theories. The investigation examined the boundaries of inoculation theory by examining how inoculation can be applied to conspiracy theory propaganda. A three-phase experiment with 312 participants compared three main groups: no treatment control, inoculation, and meta-inoculation. Research questions explored how inoculation effects differ based on the argument structure of inoculation messages. The attack message was a 40-minute chapter from the 9/11 truth conspiracy theory film Loose Change Final Cut. The results indicated that both the inoculation treatments induced more resistance to conspiracy theories than the control message. A gun range has banned a Vermont police department from training there in protest to the city council drafting legislation to ban assault-style firearms. The Stowe Reporter reports that the Lowmill Valley Fish and Game Club decided to ban the Burlington Police Department because the executive board feels that the Burlington City Council wants to take away their Second Amendment rights. We can no longer support the city of Burlington with such a prejudice against our club and its members, and has voted to suspend the city's use of our range for its law enforcement. This action is effective immediately, Robert Boyvin, chairman of the club's executive board, wrote in a letter, according to the reporter. Support for the Liberty Beat is brought to you by SovereignLiving.tv, illuminating the path to self-sufficiency, online at SovereignLiving.tv, and by Lone Star Libertopia, encouraging liberty activists to move to Central Texas, online at LoneStarLibertopia.com. This is the Liberty Beat for February 1st, 2013. Senators Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham were recently prevented by D.C. law enforcement officials from bringing certain types of firearms to a committee hearing to act as props for their hearing. Cruz and Graham wrote in a letter to the Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy that they instructed their staffs to work with local and federal law enforcement and Senate Sergeant of Arms to arrange the details. But the requirements to secure the weapons at the hearing are so impractical as to be unworkable, stated the letter first reported by Politico. The District of Columbia bans possession of assault weapons and requires registration of all firearms. Human Rights Watch on Thursday condemned the Russian authorities under President Vladimir Putin for unleashing the toughest crackdown against civil society since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991. The Kremlin in 2012 unleashed the worst political crackdown in Russia's post-Soviet history, the New York-based rights watchdog said in an English-language statement released in Moscow accompanying the release of its annual World Report. After returning to the Kremlin for a third term despite unprecedented protests against his 13-year rule, Putin signed off on a raft of laws in which critics say was a bid to quash dissent. The new legislation recriminalized slander, raised fines for misdemeanors at opposition protests, and forced non-governmental organizations that receive foreign funding to carry a foreign agent tag in a move to seen as a throwback to Soviet times. In breaking news, a suspected suicide bomber detonated an explosive device at the entrance of the U.S. Embassy in the Turkish capital on Friday, and at least two people are dead, a police official said. This has been the Liberty Beat for February 1st, 2013. Check us out online at thelibertybeat.com, and as always, remember to live free.
A majority of Americans are pointing to Friday's tragedy as a clear call for major reforms in everything, or literally anything at all that might prevent acts of horrifying, senseless violence. According to a recent ONN poll, the nation is united in saying that the key to preventing future tragedies is a drastic change in gun control, mental health care, school security, media coverage, violent entertainment, the fragility of the human condition, and really so many other things we probably haven't even thought of yet. Jesus. The Randolph Center for Public Health and Safety also released a statement saying, quote, "If you look at statistics regarding gun violence in the United States, you'll see the recent shooting is a clear cry for any thing at all to please, please be different." In Washington, lawmakers have reached a bipartisan agreement that the U.S. desperately needs tighter firearm restrictions or looser firearm restrictions, or honestly, whatever option just makes these things stop. Do that one.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Afraid, man, but we are creative. Yep. Okay, this is to summarize last hour real quick. It's bad guys being bad. You know, this is what's going on. I am of the opinion, are you going to raise it or something? Okay, don't worry about it. Our internet, you know, the whole first hour, we got all kinds of, you know, connection, something, processing, internet, whatever, bad guys. You got the audio, that's all you need here. You can just work, you know, I just put up the goodies anyway. There we go. We had the meeting Saturday, and it is a culmination of a lot of things that I can see building up. What's going on is there are forces that are gathering that they have lost control or believe that they're losing control, and they're getting desperate because they see it has an impact on many other things. If you are of the mind that certain things are going to play out in certain ways, well, you can prep for that instead of having immediate gain or who gets elected here or there or so on. And you may be mucking up their plans, but you know, it's doesn't matter. I mean, you know, we're looking for a long-term thing anyway. And that's what the Levolution is about. And they did not take seriously this kind of movement because they didn't understand that. I give you an example. They'll sit in the seats at the state conventions and so on, and they'll have a, I don't know why this camera, this one's frozen up. All right, cool. You know, you don't got to look at me anyway. There, you can look at the magazine covers. What happens is they lose control over the influence of different, not just political positions, but bureaucratic agencies. And it all comes down to the cooperation of the people. I mean, if the people are not cooperative, if they don't want to do it, if they're just no, heck no. And you know, you got all the, you know, the golf caddies and the bus boys and the valets and your car and so on. And there, you know, that was one thing. For a long time during the Levolution, there were a lot of car valets. You know, they'd be in, you know, these politician cars and this and that and seeing and stuff and, you know, I think they were all very professional. They didn't take or do anything or something, but they certainly knew when somebody was somewhere. Oh, yeah. I parked the car of this guy and this guy. I saw him having dinner. They came out of the restaurant together. It was this, you know, guy and this guy, and they were talking about this thing. You know, I don't know what the heck they mean, but they said these words and these names, and some of us have been around a while. We knew exactly what was going on. We're going, oh, ho, 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 ho. So this is all this evidence has been pointed, and they underestimate us right up until they start to overestimate us. When they start to overestimate you, it's usually from a position of fear because they don't understand. So we're very open. You know, that's why you'll see my home address is at the bottom of the front page of Freedom's Phoenix. You know, oh my goodness, why do you do that? Because all the bad guys know where I live. Might as well have some good guys know where I live. You know what I mean? Seriously. So they come to our events sometimes and the parties and everything, and they have one question. Who are you guys? Why are you so influential? How come every meeting I go, we see, you know, your logo and your cards and people talking about, and they're on the page, and you go down to the state legislature and Freedom's Phoenix is, you know, on monitors. You know, not in the city of Phoenix anymore. They banned it. Oh, you can't go to Freedom's Phoenix, which I make a big deal out of every now and then. So this is, I'm like, okay. So how does this manifest itself? When we have the gun rights thing is really building up, I knew what would happen because I've gone through it before. It is an enormously powerful, motivated people get out there, do work thing. And if they can get you all manipulated and get the people's all, you know, lemminged in line to do whatever the heck it is that they want because they say, and this is the mission of, you know, that's where they'll go in support of what they love it. Oh, look, they're doing gun control. Well, of course, we got to advocate for this or it'll be worse. And we collectively, and we're going to go fight them on. And this guy said, and I see the powers of the people that do it. But I also know the story that they're the ones that caused it. You share that with people and you tell them the story and you're going, look, man, you guys, you think we don't know? So here come some of the guys, they want to come check you out. Oh, let's go see. Yeah, well, it's just a bunch of people just putting together these packets, and they're burning, you know, these deals. Where do they get the money for that? Well, heck, it was left over from the Levolution of being donated for, and it's cost me what? Electricity? I mean, we already have the sleeves. We already have the DVDs. We already have the labels. I mean, you know, that's the only reason we don't do the big full-face labels, of which we got gazillions of, is because it costs a lot and takes time, you know, with the ink just to print them. And sometimes we can. You know, we would. If there's some big woo-hoo and we want to give them what for, you know, we'll do that. I've been getting a lot of emails from people. They'll say that the DVD itself, on some of the people, it's not working. And I found out what, you know, Andrew went through and found out what it was. If your DVD is more than a year and a half or 2 years old, it's a newer format, I guess Nick did, that, you know, anything that plays a Blu-ray, it'll do. It's new, and they play a lot of different formats. But some of the old DVD, we ran into this problem before. And as we upgrade these new guys, I mean, if you got something that's more than 6 months old, oh my goodness, 18 months, you know, you're freaking, you know, might as well be a dinosaur anyway when you're dealing with these young guys. So I find, I'm like, what the heck, man? It plays in all my stuff. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, a lot of these guys, they got their first DVDs. I mean, you know, some people with means, and they never saw a reason to change. So it's so that's what we're finding is a problem. Now, a lot of the places, you know, it's not often that people are, you know, saying, hey, man, mine didn't play. And we were, you know, getting them and finding them. You have an old DVD. So, I mean, that's something, and that's one reason why when you go out and you buy these, they have DVD plus R and minus R. All right, what's the difference? Well, the plus R's were the newer versions and so on that, you know, formatted differently to be able to, the minus R's played in more DVDs, some of the older ones. So that's why we got that particular DVD. So this is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with, no big deal. Go find somebody with a newer DVD player. Or we could, you know, redo the format or whatever. Over the weekend, we had this up on a server that, and that's how I downloaded it. It's a file that then we burn to a DVD, make a master, put in the hard drive as a duplicator, and then start mass producing. Well, that file was available because we can't make it too available because it's, you know, it's 4.26 gig. So it just fills up a disk. So what happens is you got to have a real fast connection for a long time, takes 8 hours or whatever, you know, and it downloads on your computer and you can do it. I mean, you might get away with a few hours or something, but it's, it really got downloaded a lot. I'm like, ooh, there's a lot of bandwidth. They got limits on and kind of whatever. So some people around the country that we knew got it, and then they start replicating it, and then they start putting it up to be it. So within a week or two, everybody's going to have it, be able to download anyway. Cool. They're worried about this because there is a faction that has lost power, and it's all about the power, and it's law enforcement. It is law enforcement, the government, the fusion centers, Homeland Security, databases they got for SB 1070 immigration law. They were able to take every single database of every concealed carry permit holder, professional license for whatever jobs, hunting license, fishing license, driver's licenses, everything went to Janet Napolitano immediately after that became law. And that's what's behind all of this stuff, and they are so worried about us outing it, so they show up everywhere. We'll get to it.
We're from the government, and we're going to solve all your problems. Do you know what your problem is? Sometimes people make the wrong choices, but we're going to help them make the right choices. With guns. Hey, you're not running your business right. You're not paying people enough money. You're not hiring the right people. You keep firing the wrong people. Well, do it different. Do it different now! They got two boys kissing on the TV. We can't have that. We can't have boys kissing boys and girls kissing girls. Stop it! Stop it now! You're not doing religion right. You're worshiping all wrong and believing all wrong and wearing the wrong symbols. Well, fix it! Fix it now, damn it!
Are you interested in peaceful solutions to LGBT issues? Listen to Flaming Freedom on the Liberty Radio Network every Tuesday from 10 p.m. to midnight. Or download any show for free from flamingfreedom.com.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
BitTorrent senders or seeders, whatever that means. All right, I tell you what we're going to do. Nick and I are going to work it out to where to help facilitate this because we're getting a lot of requests to send the disc around the country. And what I'm going to go ahead and do is make sure that we have this available online for all you Uber geeks to be able to download. He also is saying that he tried it on his 5-year-old DVD player and that format worked fine for him. I'm working on all mine, so maybe they're just trying to, you know, say it doesn't work. Don't want us passing them out. Know what I mean? So this is because that's a, but I am getting some, you know, from friends and people that checked it and said, yeah, there is a problem with certain DV. I don't know why, you know, nothing's perfect. So I'll let all you geeks, you know, deal with that. So, but it's really having an impact. We are getting a lot of feedback on this thing that it's having the impact that we wanted it to. And the biggest reason is because we always distribute them first to the government. We go on, you know, it's Friday afternoon, wait till about, you know, 3 o'clock or something like that, because that's when they start leaving. You know, it's 3, 4, 5 o'clock, you know, usually a lot of the, you know, managers and stuff, they leave in at 3. So we put them on all the cars in their parking garage, or you go into the state legislature and you have them. I got a call from, that reminds me, Donna, that reminds me what happened. I got a call from the House mailroom that went to all of the House representatives, and they had some left over. Well, the guy that went and dropped them off, it used to be that they had the House mailroom, Senate mailroom. Then they moved into the Capitol building. They had a mailroom for all of them. Well, I said, well, you know, whatever, it was like this. It was here, this, go find it. Well, oh, it's in the House. Well, they split it again. And they, so the House has like 30 extra for the senators. Well, you want us to do with them? Well, you know, take them over to the Senate. So we'll go ahead and see if they'll do that for us. But at least we know the 60 House members got them all distributed. So they're either got them Friday afternoon, or they're probably picking them up today. This is, and they won't distribute them unless they know who it's from. So that's why a lot of these had my business card in it. Because if it didn't have a business card in it, you know what it's from, they're not going to put a DVD in there unless they know who to blame for whatever. So I'm like, okay. So this has already happened. When they know about this on Freedom's Phoenix and us talking about it, because we are monitored by, you know, they, them, those, or somebody, and they go, ooh, Ernie said, and we're going to get them, and didn't you know, and we're, and whatever. The reason I am concerned, you know, these guys are coming, because when some of the people that came by and helped, you know, they ask a lot of questions of the guys. Don and I are busy, and they're just going, I mean, you want to know this stuff? You know, talk to Ernie. Because they're all, you know, how do you guys do this? Where's the funding come from? How do you, what they don't know is all this equipment and everything that we got was during the height of the Levolution. In 07, 08, we would go, look, we need duplicators for the DVDs. We already had a printing press. Oh, you want to make t-shirts? Well, we need X amount of dollars for the head thing here and this and the heater and the conveyor and, you know, for, I don't know, like $4,000 or something. Boom, got that covered. You know, the printing stuff, you know, we probably spent $4,000 or $5,000 on that. You know, for the duplicator stuff, there's a few thousand dollars, but we had probably $15,000-$20,000 in donated just DVDs. People would just, you know, here's 100, here's 200. They're on sale, you know, 13, whatever, 100 at, you know, Best Buy or Fry's Electronics. We went and cleaned them out. And we would do that. We'd go, look, they're at Staples. They got a deal, and you get 128 megabyte little flash drive. If you, so I got 5 gazillion 128 megabyte flash drives, you know, or 256 or whatever, there's a bunch of them, depending on which one you got when they were on sale for whatever. You know, so when we do that, we say, go get them. And they go get them. And a lot of times, you know, one per customer. So you have 5 or 6 guys going around and around and sort of going in and getting as many. And now I got shopping carts full of DVD. And we just accumulated them. We need the sleeves. We need the this. We need, and the activists would do it. You fundraisers for them, chip-ins and so on. They just accumulate the information. Then we have guys that are in the industry, because I've been in radio for a long time. You know, this you know, nice big, you know, slide mixer, uber-duber, whatever thing back here. That was a Clear Channel throwaway that we refurbished. Got it for $500. Thing cost $20,000. You know, we do it. This is what we do. This desk, nice desk, part of our video studio that we had and everything. We built it. Cabinet maker from scratch. Our work, you know, these are the kinds of things that they don't, they'll look at this and they'll go, oh my God, where'd all the money come from? That's not what happened. It's, oh my God, people care about freedom and they just did it. Collectively, as individuals. You know, acting in their own self-interest for a common cause. And we made use of it. So when the time comes and we got the storage and we moved up here, we got a whole little shed out there just full of DVDs. We got a bunch of blank, you know, t-shirts. We got a bunch. So what are we, what's our cost? Ink. Printing ink on for the labels. Electricity. You know, we stocked up. You know, like a lot of guys, they stock up on food and ammo. It's kind of, we stock up on activism. So for a few hundred dollars, you know, because we still had to, you know, buy the papers. Well, it's really expensive now, and, you know, for the printing and the trash can flyers and all that. Oh, yeah, and that's starting, you know, heavy, too. So they don't understand, and it makes them afraid. They're fearful. They don't get it. So you send in guys, and you give them the tour, and instead of a lot of, like, the real activists, they come in and go, ooh, that's cool. Oh, what can we do with this? How can we, you know, wow, that's neat. We want, oh, man, pace. Two thumbs up, family, good fun. When they come in and they get the look of fear, then you know. You go out to the workshop and you show them, you know, all right, this is where we do t-shirts and this is where we do this and this, you know, boom. We can hit within, you know, half a day and boom, we got the right t-shirt at the right place for the right time. When they had the event, you know, that was down at the Capitol, you know, I will not comply with the silhouette of an AK-47 t-shirt. They were out there selling $5-$10 by the gazillions out there. They would have sold everything that they could have made. They made it in a few days here. They didn't have anything to do with it. They got a piece, you know, knocked self out. You know, Chip and those guys were out there just having fun. And I go, you know, and they saw that everywhere. Like, wow, that was done here. Yeah, they made their money back. They were selling $5. It was $10 or $15 or something like that, but it was $5 if you put it on right then. Yep, $5 if you put it on right now. Yep, not a problem. They put it on, $5 t-shirt. So this is what they're afraid of. They think it's more, because to them, they're paying $15 a shirt just cost. They got to have the artwork daylight. I mean, I know these guys. A lot of the guys that did the burning, they're the ones that would supply these people. They were, you know, big money. Oh, yeah, I was Republican, you know, and it cost this much, you know, for you guys to get shirts. But they can do it. You know, it was a push-button thing. But it cost a lot of money, and they would have to raise it. And they didn't get anybody. It was just like, you know, they wind up with all these. I have a bunch of them they give to me. You know, a bunch of these guys, they make a bunch of shirts. You know, it's always anti-Obama this or McCain that or something. And then we get them here. You guys distribute it because we can't get rid of them fast, you know, enough. We're just, you know, here. I still got a bunch of this stuff. It's the people, the passion. They don't understand it. They think they can do the AstroTurf thing. They can pretend that there's people out there in support of whatever. They don't get it. So they come and see it, and you see the fear.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Hey, Jude. Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. And any time you feel the pain, hate you'd refrain.
This is the mood that I'm in. It just made me think of the melody, Hey Jude. You know, hey man. Yeah, I'm just, you know, don't get down. Just, you know, let's go take care of business. So this is the kind of mood that I'm in. Normally, you know, I try and take Monday off, spend time with grandkids and so on. They'll be over a little later than usual on Monday. But I wanted to share this with you before it got too late, because I got a... we're leaving Friday. We'll be gone for a week. And I don't know how much or what we're kind of going to do from the road, or if we can. We'll see. We're working on it. But I feel the battle coming. You know, as much as I'm optimistic about, fortunately, I am of the opinion that we have prepared. You know, this is, you know, we've done what we can to kind of lay the ground. I mean, there's, of course, more, always more you want to do. But I'll tell you what's got me concerned is the fear that the people, you know, when they underestimate you, you know, doesn't matter. You can do pretty much whatever you want, and they just make fun of you and those crazy libertarians over there. It has got to the point that they start to overestimate you, and that makes them dangerous because they're afraid. And they still have a lot of contact and influence and so on, and here they come. You know, you have a bunch of guys. You know their LEO. Now it's their haircut. And even in their plain clothes and their, you know, Docker jean tight fin kind of got their polo shirt hat on, kind of, you know, it's almost like they're all in uniform. Non-uniform uniform. I mean, you know, and I've been through this long enough. You know, these guys are neon flashing obvious, man. They go, oh, yeah, we went undercover. You know, you did. No. So this is, and be it they're Republicans or law enforcement or whatever, It's the people that Alan Corwin that spoke Saturday tries to appeal to. Because the NRA has two faces. The NRA is National Republican Apologists. They're just the lapdog of the Republican Party and do what we got this segment and Democrats don't have it and gunnies and where else are you going to go vote here? Now, that's their attitude. Then there are the rank and file and the people that they cater. They know they got to keep happy and they'll have their American Riflemen. They'll go, oh, yeah, Second Amendment. Ooh. Behind the scenes, their cover for a lot of Republicans that, you know, want to do whatever the heck it is that they're told to do, and they don't think it through. They're not understanding what's going on. We knew this to be the case, and that, you know, they didn't anticipate the armor that chink that we would be responsible for in their whole whatever the heck they're doing. It's database. SB 1070 immigration thing, I knew that sooner or later everybody's going to start to come to realize this was not about immigration. It was an excuse to get all Arizona databases into the central bag of, because they had done a big thing, and this is where Karen Johnson let us know about this, where we found out, was they did a big thing about, you know, oh, Arizona would never accept RFID and compliant with, and don't, we're never going to, and so on, and that went through. The reason was a lot of people didn't realize there was a thing called the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative that was even more than RFID compliant. It's like making Arizona driver's license a passport that was acceptable in the Western Hemisphere. Now, Central, South America, Mexico, and that kind of thing, you know, and Caribbean countries and such. So there is a Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative. You look it up, then you'll see, and it has all the biometrics and so on that are involved in yada, yada, yada. And it's why my driver's license, Donna, go get my wallet off of my dresser, would you please? My driver's license is an old one, and it said it was good until, you know, 2020 something, and I'm not getting another one until then. It's not my fault. Thing sucks, you know. So when I travel, I have to use my passport because that, you know, photos wore off, and it's kind of, you know, designed in obsolescence they had on this thing. So what I did, you know, and I have it in my wallet, and I carry it just so they want it. And this is my driver's license, okay, in two pieces. And it's all faded and everything, and it has, you know, let me see your license for your credit. Okay, there it is. You know, and that's, and it's got an old address of like three addresses ago and so on. Well, you know yours. Yes, I do. Well, you need to get, yeah, whatever. And until somebody makes me, or they make this an issue, or they force me into whatever I got to go down, they got me all digitized in their system and whatever anyway. I'm just waiting until they make me. And before, they would make a bigger deal out of it when I was younger and so on. Now they don't care because, you know, you come up on their thing anyway. Color photograph of. When they started doing the concealed carry initiative, I mean, after we did the initiative, the concealed carry permit system, we were warning them, look, they're going to use this database in all kinds of different ways that they pinky swear they're not. What happened? When they stopped you for a traffic ticket, immediately it would come up that link your license plate with your name. It would show that you had a concealed carry permit. So the officers, they were hutting it. Andrew, I can see him. They're just being buttheads because they knew that you had a concealed carry permit and people were freaking out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is this how we're going to get treated? So then legislation came to take it off, or, you know, at a different level, not an initial stop, or, you know, they were trained not to be, you know, all freaked out and buttheads about it. So this kind of, you know, every time that this stuff happens, it's shown out that we were clairvoyant on it. They're starting to see right now about this database thing. Russell Pierce, it's not him. I mean, you know, he's just a front. Now, it's if they thought they'd do better with somebody else that would, you know, and they may, you know, it'd be, you know, next guy. You know, it's just, you know, he's the most popular right now to represent this neoconish attitude, big government, and he doesn't really care. Now, big government, yeah, you got a Democrat, Janet Napolitano, up there with the database, but sooner or later, we're going to get access to it, and when we do, you know? So, a lot of people don't see that. I do. Been hammering on it, and it's starting to become more and more common knowledge. They're starting to get it. They give the bluster of political power and control at these different conventions and everything, but it doesn't manifest itself in any way. I had the regional guy, the Southwestern regional guy, about four states or something, of the John Birch Society, come meet with me a week ago Friday. And Glenn Jake was visiting here, and he helped me kind of, you know, give him what for over a few hours. And our working together on anything, you know, say, yeah, you know, peace, freedom, you know, whatever, you know, you got something we can overlap, let's do it. And he went to a party that evening. I said, yeah, my name will come up. You know, you'll talk, you know, one will say nice things or not and so on. And I guarantee it's going to come around an older generation. The average age is going to be 60, 70 something, and they want to get back in charge. And they're going to use Russell Pierce as the mechanism for them to be in to do the good America. And it really has nothing to do with the kind of freedom orientation that we have. But sometimes we overlap. But, you know, these guys, man, it's all about they're in control and the power. So then they start going through law enforcement, because law enforcement wants the database. They want to know who's doing what and everything. You know, imperfect information just drives them nuts. They need more, and they think they can discern it, and they can't. They don't understand what's going on. So we're in that situation now. They came to the Breakfast Club Saturday. It was neon obvious to a lot of us that have been around a while, but that's fine. You know, we get to share our perspective, and we did. And I think it surprised them. And there were some things happened. When we come back, I'll give you the blow-by-blow, basically what happened Saturday. And you can see that we're digging in the heels for the battle. Here it comes. And it begins this week.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Some of the guys that want to rule the world. This is, this is the kind of conversation that's not conducive to a whole bunch of commercial breaks. And it just keeps getting interrupted and I can't get through it, you know, but I will do my best. Saturday, there was Alan Corwin represents the will of the Republican establishment, the NRA, they, them, those. And does a good job of, you know, we're going to this and we should that, and language means, and he's very entertaining and he gets up and did, but I don't think he really understood what was going on or the power of it. So he believes in positive affirmation of, you know, the crowd and entertaining them and how many people that he can get there on his side. So it was busting out the seams at the Breakfast Club Saturday, you know, and a lot of, you know, everybody, you know, a lot of our supporters, they just, man, they wanted to get what for, and then, you know, here come the other guys. And everybody was respectful, and they got to say their say, and I did my spiel, and, you know, the article that I wrote for this month's e-zine, and it just kind of, you know, put up a lot of things that we had talked about and why we do what we do and see what's coming and the people involved and kind of, you know, the history of a lot of things. When you share that to people that, you know, you look at them, and I've been around, you know, since as a young man, so for 20 years, you know, I've seen the cycle. A lot of these guys, they may only been doing it, you know, 4 or 5 years, maybe 10 years, you know, a lot of them since 9/11, you know, it's post-9/11 world, and they're all about, you know, well, you know, all that other freedom stuff has kind of got set aside, and that we're in a post-9/11 world. We got to have a, you know, post-9/11 world, and we're in charge of the post-9/11 world, and you don't know the threats in post-9/11 world. And you keep hearing this Islamo-fascism thing, and Islam's going to come get us, and all that. Hell, that's all, you know, amped up by, one, us not leaving them alone, and two, you got the CIA doing it. You know, they're promoting these. Where do you think Osama came from? So I'm just, you know, I'm like, whatever. You know, you guys, you get to have your say, you know, peace. I gave him the story of, you know, our experiences over the past 20 years with organizations like Republican Party and the NRA and the kind of stupid stuff that they've done. You know, let congressmen run for U.S. Senate, vote for the crime bill, the assault weapons ban, so that they, you know, think it makes it easier for them to beat the Democrat. So that, and then the NRA will give them an A rating, you know, so that they can endorse and do in the gun. Kind of, what? You know, that... This is your A game. This is what we got to contend with. It's all about just electing Republicans. Why do you think we call you National Republican Apologist? The NRA. So this is kind of, you share that with people. Yeah, but about what? It's all about the database. The NRA came out. You know, we got, now that's bad. No, we didn't. Yeah, you did. No, you didn't. No, we did. You know, they come and call it the NRA blah, blah, blah Act of 2013 is all about you get to keep the guns, but we get a database. Who's been screaming that was going to be what happened? I'm like, hello? You know, so we have the digital projector up, and I'm showing from safegunowners.org all these stories, and I just probably go, look, there it is. What, I didn't make it up. And what are you doing? They were there. All these guys, the supporters of Allen, they were there to advocate for a different kind of database. And it went like this. BIDS, which stands for database, and versus NICS. And what they were saying is that there is a list. And if you're on that list, you don't get a gun. And they make this list, and it goes to all the retailers. Now they got every gun retailer has the list that they compare your name to. Are you on the list? Well, then you don't get a gun. And they have the list. How's this list made? What do they do with the list? Who's on the list? Who's not on the list? What's the criteria for getting on the list? How do you get off the list? At the appropriate time, everybody's being respectful and quiet. One of the activists here, Gary, gets up and he says, he just goes, you know, I just got to ask a question. Isn't this exactly the same thing that Rahm Emanuel is talking about? A no-buy list? The TSA no-fly list. He goes, if you're on the TSA no-fly list, well, obviously you should be on the gun no-buy list. All of this is theater to get down to the database. The TSA thing, you know, is all about database. And if you can't fly, well, obviously you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. How do you get on? How do you get off the list? Who makes the list? What's the criteria for the list? Here comes Obamacare. They're going to be, what therapist did you go see? What medications are you taking? Do you have a marijuana card? Are you a Marine that got out and disgruntled and said bad things on Facebook? List, 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 and freaking list! As we share this with the people, and then Alan, you know, and it got to where his wife, you know, these are senior citizens, live in Sun City. His wife goes, why are you going to the negotiating table already given up? Why are you already laying out, here, we want a database? We're willing to subject everybody to a data. I mean, that's your leading negotiating position? You haven't even started yet, and that's what you're already going to give up everything about us? All data, everything, you know, kind of can. Yeah, we'll do that if you let us keep the guy. I mean, that's your starting position? Yes, because that's their goal. That's what they really want. It's a list. Why? Well, rape and murder and bad guys don't get, and, you know, whatever reason, politically correct, or they just want the list for marketing. Hell, they promised to get a copy or something. You know what? Now, I have no idea, no care. You know, it's all kind of nefarious reasons you can think of. But, you know, I'm like, wow. They're, from the beginning, the Republican Party, the NRA, gun rights movement around the country, I guarantee. Because Arizona, man, I tell you, when they do this stuff, it's not missed on us, I can tell you that. And I know the point guys for this. Alan, NRA, Republican Party, those that want to be in control, like former law enforcement, head of the DMV, wanting to have database, doing the immigration thing, Russell Pierce. That has been losing elections over and over, but he's not going away because he has funding and money from. That's why they're so concerned. How are we able to thwart a lot of the stuff that they're doing just with information? Because internet's near free. Because you're out there. They deal in the media. They deal in television and radio and newspapers. And they deal... Nobody's watching anymore! The lamestream media. The media that's so last century. And they're having it demonstrated and proven to them over and over again, but they don't know anything else. And they can't appeal to people's intelligence. They can't appeal to their logic and reason. They can't appeal to principle or you know, just freedom-oriented issue or liberty. They just wrap it up in an American flag and say, oh, American! American! MKers, man, we're American! Look at my red, white, and blue sweater. Literally. It's over for them, and they don't see it. They're starting to feel it. They're starting to get afraid. That makes them dangerous. That's when they start calling you domestic terrorists and stuff. So one of the gentlemen, I showed him our workshop. And in there, of course, is my lab. So I'm out there doing experiments. And so I said, you know, see this? This is acetylene. This is carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, helium, argon. We mix it into here, goes in the tube. It's just to get poofy, acetylene torch carbon that goes up in a controlled environment to make nanotubes. It goes in over here that we plated these ceramics that we made it conductive with the carbon. And then we used the rectifier to be able to plate it with the nickel to create the core for a nickel iron battery to make save the world. But all this glass and stuff, no, not drug dealer. See all these chemicals? No, not domestic terrorist. That's why we had to call the police diffusion center of the FBI and say, don't come kill my dog. You know these guys? You call them? Yeah, of course. I've been dealing with these guys for decades. You know, you think I don't know that, any one of you guys, somebody call and say, ooh, he's got a beaker. I saw some glassware. He's got a hook. Go get him. What, you think I didn't know that would be a possibility it's coming? Why you think I take pictures of videos and put it up and everything? Because I know you want to come. Kill my dog. Protect my little baby dog. The toy poodle don't kill my dog. That just makes me more afraid. I think it's coming. There is something coming. We'll talk more about what happened and the response of these guys in the next hour. But I'm telling you, it's time to get out and open.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
I'm going to go ahead and sum it up in this last hour and do it in like 3 minutes, and here we go. When Sandy Hook happened, we've been through this before. We knew it was going to come. It was already, it's like a 9/11 thing. They got it up on the shelf. They already know what they want to do. They're going to do it. Here they come. And they have all the forces of from around the country. I give you examples of what I personally know and the people involved and everything. And it's always Arizona, but I'm sure it's always wherever the heck you are too. Same kind of stuff. Same people doing the same thing. Taking the orders from the same. But you think that they don't give the marching orders from wherever the heck it is that they're doing this and that it doesn't go from, one place to another and it's the same and we're on the same page and same? That's how they think. It's collective think. They don't think any other way. It's think. They don't know. So then you have, they're going, oh, these, the evolutionary guys, they're doing the kind of thinking, who's coordinating? Where's the money? Who do we blame? And I get a lot of heat because they're going, yeah, you and your people kind of stuff. And what they're really saying is the philosophy that we've been espousing for decades, all of a sudden is starting to become vogue, and they think we are the cause. well, we may, you know, helped and done and whatever and face of and, you know, provide resources for and so on, but it's kind of automatic pilot. Once people start to realize, you know, they just want to be left aloneism and they go out and advocate and get and do and they got the philosophy down, the hardcore understand that the base fundamental that Dr. Paul made very clear, freedom's answer, what's the freaking question? Once you get to that point, you know, there is no BS that you can do and sling and threaten with. And I tell you, one thing they got to go, you know, yeah, but what about Iran getting the bomb? Yeah, what about that, huh? What about that? What about Iran? What about? I don't care. I just stop pissing people off. I don't, you know, halfway around the world, they're getting, you know, hell, I got North Korea's already got a bomb, and ICBM saying, hey, we're launching here. We're doing it. You know, look at me, look at me, look at me. We're doing it. We're really doing it. You want Polaroids? Heck, we'll make a big giant launch and everything, and you're still worrying about Iran? Hell, I'm more crazy than Iran. Give me more food. You know, so it's just a game. How stupid do you think we are over and over and over? How stupid are freaking you to believe this BS? Islamofascism. I go, what the hell are you, Rudy Giuliani? Did you get $100,000 every time you said Islamofascism? I mean, Islamofascism, Islamofascism, Islamofascism. I mean, that's all I heard. You know, Islamofascism, 9/11, post-9/11, world 9/11. You know, I'm just so sick of it. You know, it's not a Muslim, you know, 13-year-old teenager with a suicide bomb strapped on that's got his fingers down my pants. On the side of the road, they're doing body cavity searches. Just because they can. You know, this is going on now. And who am I supposed to blame? Some 13-year-old Islamo whatever has been going to the school of learning how the evil infidel, which we give him every evidence, you know, to support it, and the school, you find out later it's funded by the CIA. I mean, how many times you want to go through? I don't care anymore. I mean, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Well, Iran, they might get a bomb. Good. Good. Then maybe we won't bomb them. You know, just say, okay, you know what? Damn, we just leave your butt alone. But that won't happen. They'll risk thermonuclear, whatever. We rule you. Africa is getting carved up now. You know, yeah, U.S. in Mali. What the hell are we doing in Mali? Who cares about Mali? What got Mali on our radar screen? Wealth underneath the ground. That ain't just, you know, it's close to Algeria. The French want it. Because, you know, what are they going to do? You know, we got drones. I mean, you know, this kind of mentality, we don't survive this for moral reasons. It just doesn't work. You know, you want the defense of God in America? God bless America? You know, well, quit being so freaking evil and maybe you can count on it. You know, I tell you what I fear. He's a just God and he's just going to kick your ass. And we're on the same ground as you, so we suffer too. You don't mind if we go get some, you know, flour or something, do you? You know? Oh, so here it comes. I can feel it. I've been through this before. They do the infiltration before. They've come down before. They are the first to come, last to leave. They want to help. How much resource? Here's $10. I want, you know, da 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 da. Steve Neal, we had him on. He was at the Breakfast Club also, and I meant to go talk to him, say, yo, what's up? Probably better that we didn't, because I want to talk to him later. I give him a call, and maybe we can have him on. I go, yeah, how many of these guys did you know? You know, what role do these play? You know, this guy, that guy, that guy. You know, I know him. I don't even need him to tell me. I already know. I mean, you can tell. After a while, you just, you know, you can tell. And if they aren't, you know, informants or getting, they should, because they're doing what they want them to do anyway. They're cultivated. They're in, it's positive reinforcement. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what you say. That's what you feel. You know, ask this question, do that. But when you got one of our guys just kind of, you know, isn't that what Rahm Emanuel was doing, this no-buy list? And how you get on, you know, and then you have older women, they get up and they go, why are you starting off with that? I mean, you've already given up, like, everything. Now you walk in and you just want to negotiate. Of course you want the list. You just want to negotiate what's on the list. Hell, you're begging for there to be more stuff on the list. Got to get the crazy people. Got to get prescriptions. Got to get, you know, the Obamacare and drugs and this and that and who and you therapy. And you went and Marine come back and go like the gun. Can't get a gun. Second Amendment is for everyone. Everyone. Everyone, 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 everyone. You get out of the Yuma Territorial Prison. Here's your Winchester and $20. Have a nice day. Can't load it until you're 100, 200 yards away from prison. Got, you know, our rifles on you. Get out the, okay, you can load. Oh, you think I'm kidding? Second Amendment, you know, the right to defend your life, you know, and, the, and your liberties, you know, a free state, you know, that, that was their mindset. The right to defend your life, certainly against tyrannical governments, was didn't have anything to do with whether you were a felon or not or how bad you kind of, whatever. That's a whole nother issue. Go get them for that. But we can't let them have, you know, right to defend their life or anything. You know, they, and then what do? They go get it anyway. You know, and who do they get it from? You know, new criminals that are selling guns to bad people that you don't even give them the option. They don't even care. You don't even give them the option as a gun retailer, you know, whatever criteria he would have. He goes, you know what? We're a AAA restaurant gun dealer. Which means what? Whatever the hell they want it to mean. We got our own little list of you're a good, upstanding, sponsored individual of the yada yada. You know, it's a private, the private sector, the free market. They go, nope, we don't have any faith that the free market would be able to, nope, nope, they can't do, nope, nope, nope. So what happens? You create a black market. The very people that you don't want to have the guns are the ones selling them and making money and getting them. What do you do? What do you do? The law-abiding people, we are the ones that suffer, and you make it more difficult for us to get the protection that we need to defend against the very guys that you say you're all afraid of, and young are realizing this. And your arguments fall on its face because you're anti-freedom and you have no idea what the hell you're doing, and you just keep saying it and making yourself look stupid. So what do? Aaron Zellman, JPFO, a lot of great films. No guns for Negroes, no guns for Jews. You know, all the basis of the racist gun control, the basis for how they got the, you know, cyanide showers for the Jewish people in Germany. You know, it goes on about the gang, which is about the ATF. You know, they didn't like that one. You know, and it's all about, you know, stupid stuff that they do and how crazy and rogue they are. Then you got the Second Amendment, some history there, and Aaron talking about some stuff and innocence betrayed about all the people, you know, 100-something million people. I mean, it's like 170, 200 million. You know, it's a lot. I mean, how many does it have to be that you got the people get disarmed and then their governments kill them? Why? Because they had a database. Gun confiscation is not the short-term goal. It's the ultimate goal. And the way to do it, database. And they know they can't do it and en masse right now. Going, let's just go get them. We know we'll just go get them. They know that's not going to work. They need a more complete database so they can do it all at one time, because they get one chance. And they're getting ready. Guarantee it.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at donnahancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
They're going to make me do it. You know, make me do it, make me do it. This is, I can see, I see, I think you guys see it too. Here we go. I am of the opinion they are, they, them, those won't leave us alone, are afraid. They are losing control at every level, and they don't know what to do. They do not have the media, no matter how much they get positive reinforcement from their media contacts and so on. Nobody watches. They'll have a big thing, you know, Piers Morgan to get any ratings at all. He's talking this gun issue every freaking day. I mean, you can't turn on television without guns this, guns that, guns. Database. They are combined. It's a left jackboot, the right jackboot, the jackboot on your throat party, and they want to know which throat to put the jackboot on. You know, that's what's coming. This is all about control and to think. What, you think the big bad they, them, those, they didn't control both sides of the pyramid from the top? We all see an eye at the top? At the top? Well, that's why we do this, okay? Sorry, you were out. Oh, yeah, baby. You know, we got the all-seeing eye of the earth and kind of going to get us some, and we have, and here, sorry we missed y'all. So these go out, too. And the one thing that was interesting, I just know what to watch for. And you look, and you know these, you know, some of the guys that peppered throughout the meeting, you know, they don't want to make comment. They're just there to, you know, absorb. They're kind of, you know, because I don't try and convince them. I just want to make sure they understand why I'm so convinced, okay? Scary. I guess there was, I don't know, it could have been 80, 100 people there or something Saturday. So I go, all right, here are these flyers. Here are the DVDs. There's plenty of places for you to put them. You know, you can do your neighborhood, take 10, take 20, take 30. We got 3,000 of everything. I think we have 5,000 of the trash can flyers, and we had already had produced about 2,800, something like that, of the DVDs. So we got them sitting right there. They already had been distributed. We needed a few hundred, 400 or 500 or something to hit the parking garages in downtown, the municipal employees and so on. And the, you know, because it, you start getting officers, you start getting the firemen, you start getting, all of a sudden they feel like they're from freaking everywhere. They're being descended upon and kind of, and this is the people think and information I didn't know, and already getting feedback going, damn, they did that because the Nazi gun control was the 68 Gun Control Act verbatim from Senator Todd, you know, the current Todd's dad back in the 60s. And he was an attorney, the Nuremberg trials, and knew. And then when all the shootings in the 60s of JFK and RFK and MLK and all the K's got hit. And then what happens? You know, you get the KKK assassinations. I never thought of that. You can call it that. But they, you have all the assassinations of Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, 1968 Gun Control Act, Nazi law. Goes to the Library of Congress, translate this for me. Boom, there it is. JPFO comes out, finds this out, gets all the information, even got the request that he made to from his office and his personal request to the Library of Congress asking to have this done. They find all this out, get a book, show page by page how it's the same thing. Go, here, did you guys know this? Of course not. And it's common knowledge inside the gun community. You know, it's common knowledge of a lot of people paying attention. Common knowledge, anybody that, you know, followed Aaron Zellman's No Compromise, Jews don't get on the freaking cattle car without firing a shot. You know, I mean, come on. You know, it's, and then what we had Larkin Rose during the Occupy Phoenix thing, and here's, people were passing out his paper, and they're getting all freaked out, and it, you know, hit a lot of media, but they're so stupid, they're so predictable, because they went on the title, when is it okay to shoot a cop? And it was something like that, inflammatory. And he was making the point, no, you shouldn't, until what? Sometime before the cattle car sliding door latches lock. It's sometime before then. When? Hey, man, that's not an individual decision. But it's before then. I guarantee it's before then. So this is the, you know, the mindset that they're never. Nope. You got shiny badges, and they will always be, and you're not allowed. And to make sure we need a database. We're worried about y'all. Because it's going, yeah, we know it's going to get bad. The economy's bad. We do, you know, we know. How do you know? Take a look at the economic situation. It's a lot worse. I remember this went on before. It went on during the Brady bill, and I told him this. I'm saying, look, you know, I went through this before. Read my lips, no new taxes. He raises taxes. You got the people going, yeah, no, we don't want it, and rumble, 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 and here comes militias and all that. They started amping that up. Was there really that many people? No! They just made that up. Why? Because you had the Japanese and the West Germans at the time, the Koreans, everybody. Nobody would buy our debt. It was going up to 8%. Right now, you have the European debt, you know, Greece or Italy, Spain. It's 5, 6%, and they freak out. What was it here? 8%. 92, here comes Ross Perot. Man, oh, we're going, can I finish, can I finish? Look at my chart, we're screwed, can I finish? He's getting it. That was his whole thing, was the finances. People started to understand, what do they do? Got to go get them damn militia, man. Get a list. Why? Because the foreign governments would not, a lot of people would not invest around the world. They would not invest in our debt. Why? Because the American people had a history of going after the biggest, most powerful empire on the planet, saying hell no with their guns when they felt they were being taxed too much. Bush in 88 promised not to read my lips, no new taxes. Of course, I didn't say no taxes or less taxes, no new taxes. So he really kind of narrowed it down, but he did it anyway. All right. Then what? Was he so worried about the people going to rise up with their guns? No! It was to convince foreign governments that he had the slaves on the plantation to take care of, and don't worry about it, we got that gun control thing, give us money. So what do you think's going on right now? See, the reason we know this is because at the time, you have, foreign television crews and everything coming, talking to us because, we were getting a lot of press at the time and so on. Just go, archive search Second Amendment for everyone, Ernest Hancock 90, whatever, come up. And the point was, is we're going, oh, why do you guys care? Why is the Chinese government now saying, disarm the American? What do they care? What does that, what? How would they, what? You'd think they'd, heck, here's some guns, be against the American government. Hell, we don't care. That's not, now you need the American government to survive. Why? Because they got gazillions of dollars of our debt. They're worried we're not going to pay it back. They worry it's going to be null and void. They worried to do what Iceland did, except we're going to do it with a gun, or afraid that it, maybe not with a gun, do it Iceland. You know what? We dissolve the government and done. Next. Yeah, I don't know who owed you. We'll go blame there over there somewhere. We started a new one. Debt clear. All done. Future generations aren't tax slaves anymore. Heck, print up a $20 trillion, mint up a $1 trillion, platinum coin, pay it off, do away with the Federal Reserve, done, over, finished. Thank you very much for playing. They won't do that either. Why? They just want you to be a tax slave. Police state and an armed populace, according to Craig Roberts, is not compatible.
Cybersecurity has become just another political football in Washington politics. Every day, millions of people access the internet without ever checking in with one local authority. There's a highway safety agency attempting to patrol the net, starting with a Virginia State pilot. You don't need a driver's license to access the internet highway. Don't volunteer up for the Cross-Sector Digital Identity Initiative when you renew your license. You have a choice. Message brought to you by 511campaign.org.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our
okay, I tell you what it's the end of. It's the end of the beginning. of the end. I can tell you that. It may not be the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. Yeah, here we go. Get ready. Here come, here come, here come, here come, here come. And we're ready. We've been ready, and they're just afraid. Damn, these guys were ready. So where did they see manifestation of this? At the Arizona State Conventions. You know, Sean Dean, one of the activists here, gets up to Maricopa County Republican Party, a couple thousand people in there, and he gets up and he says, you know what, Second Amendment, Second Amendment, Second Amendment. You know, I have it laying around here somewhere. And it was just, here it is. And he says, you know, whereas, therefore. Arizona Republicans hereby declare and affirm all federal acts, laws, orders, rules, regulations in violation of the Second Amendment by the U.S. Constitution and natural right of individuals to protect their life by means of adequate arms as outlined in Article 2, Section 26 of the Arizona Constitution and are hereby declared to be invalid, shall not be recognized, are specifically rejected by and shall be considered null and void and of no effect in this state. And further, legislators are to make sure this happened, go and kick butt. At the Maricopa County, there's a few people got, well, you know, not all federal. I mean, you know, what about the database? They already think, man, you know, database. Then it gets to the state convention, and Steve Neal was telling us it was the only time that he ever remembers that there wasn't any dissent whatsoever. Boom, unanimous, Second Amendment, yeehaw, yay. Full understanding of it. Everybody. Child molesting, baby raping, cat, you know, abusing, throwing in the freaking cat, bad, most evil people that I need to be able to defend myself against and my family be able to do it are the ones that I need to be able to easily acquire firearms to defend against. And it's not them you're disarming. It's us. And they know it. They know it. They know it. I don't get this animated usually. I don't go Alex Jones on everybody, except, God, man, freaking, they are so neon flashing obvious, you know, fang bleeding, blood dripping, horn wearing, pointy tail having individuals that will do whatever they can to disarm the people that shouldn't have guns that are going to challenge their rule for them to have guns. Second Amendment is for every. Yeah, but Ernie, if you get on TV and you know, I'm going, you know, watch the CNN Ernest Hancock interview. Just do a Google on CNN Ernest Hancock. Do Rich Hancock, Ernest Hancock, you know, the national syndicate guy out of Texas. Do you? I mean, I'll go all hardcore. You know, and I'd be nice. I, you know, God, G Shuck and G Willikers. You know, I, you know, this is I hold my ground. I don't compromise. Oh, you can't do that. Hell, you can't. You guys have already given up. You're already justifying how it is you're going to create this big giant no-buy list, and you're the gun rights guys. You're not going to win this. Why are you taking this position? And because I've known you for so long to do this, and then later say, oh, no, I never said that. You know how many times I've heard this from these people? Oh, no, we never said that. Bullshit. Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry. BS. No, hell, yes, you did. And we got it on tape now. Got you on the air. You know, a lot of these guys put it, you know, come on the show. You want to say your piece, man. Keep yapping. All right, that's good. Let's get it on video. Let's go to Arizona Breakfast Club, and you can sit there and tell us how much better we are off we are that we got a database, a no-buy list. Go ahead. Say it. You did it. You got it. Everybody asked the questions. We're all done. On tape, what are you going to say 10 years from now? What are you going to say 5 years from now? What are you going to say this next election cycle? What are you going to say? Do you think I didn't take the heat internationally on being against this SB 1070 thing? Because I knew it had nothing to do with immigration. You haven't even heard anything about it anymore. You know, the immigrants are blah, 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 blah. You know, they're blah. Nope, except on Freedom's Phoenix today. We got Frosty Wooldridge, Mr. You know, I can't. You know, here, legalizing illegality. Americans too stupid to realize their fate. The current mass legalization of 20 million illegal aliens portends the onward march of displacing American citizens from their own language, their own culture, and most certainly their way of life. That's what they see it. That's one of the big arguments. Yeah, it's environmental. It's this. It's that. We are going to affect our culture, which is what? These people left socialist, central planned, failed economies that NAFTA didn't help either, by the way. They go in and they say, you know what? We're going to get up and we're going to go brave the desert. We're going to go cross the ocean. We're going to go cross space. We're going to go whatever, go find a better life. These are the people I don't want? Seriously? You think you're here for a welfare check? Which would you keep claiming? I'm like, you know, these are the kind of people you want. You want, you want, you want, you want. And what's the culture they're worried about? Where's that culture of freedom? What about that? What about a culture of freedom? Come here so you can get, or don't come here, so we can keep our people on the plantation. Here's a database. And what are they advocating? We had Frosty. He came to one of our breakfast, our Freedom Summits. Had him up there with Bumper Hornberger. You want to do it? Terry Bressey from Checkpoint USA. Mike Frosty, you just give it what for? And what's his thing? You know, the freedom warrior, they go, hey, man, it's only the government complains about more customers. Now, well, we care. As long as they're leaving me alone, they don't get some entitlement. They won't even address the welfare warfare state. Now, we can't have these people. They'd be taking stuff. Well, stop giving it to them. Stop giving it to everybody. Well, we can't do that. Why? What's the difference? You think I give a crap if it's somebody from Appalachia or Northern California, you know, taking my hard-earned for their welfare set on their butt, food stamp, whatever, you know, or somebody from Mexico? What's the freaking difference? Oh, Islamo-fascism, what, you know, yeah, what's the difference? You're putting your hands down my pants for whatever reason you can come up with. It's a database. We want to get, you know, are you on the list? What's going to happen? The infrastructure is already set there. We proved this with this vaccination scare thing and so on. Database, are you on the database? You got your vaccination database. Oh, you didn't? Get on the bus or get your vaccination. Well, I'm not. You can opt out if you want. You got to get on the bus and be quarantined away from. That's in place right now. Right now, right now, right now, not later, right now. Anybody talking about it? They will. They will. Hell yeah. They will. Here we go. Database. And people screaming to get it. See, I can sit there and just yell, database, 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 database all day, because I know in the end they're going to go, who was screaming about the database? Who is the one that was warning us of this? Who is the one that's saying they're going to trade all our, you know, our privacy and everything, so we can get to keep our guns for another few months so they can, you know, get us on this database, do that, and then all of a sudden you can't have them. We got a database. Who's that doing that? Who's that? Let me think. Ernie? Hello? They're going to try and come after now. You know, they come after me. This was it. You know, they're going, ooh, we got to stop earning because, man, database. So this is, I see the forces of, it's been building for a long time. This is, you know, it's Nazi Germany. Ooh, he said the word Nazi. You're not supposed to say Nazi. You know, you give me a better comparison. This is ominous parallel, man. So what's the solution? Convincing them that we at least understand. I mean, I just want them to understand why we're so convinced. That's how they get convinced. So I saw it happen. As we're passing this stuff out, it was amazing of the new people that came, how many of them didn't pick up a single DVD or a stack of the trash can flyers. Did not walk out with it. Why? I mean, you'd think it just out of curiosity. You think out of, you know, something. No. Maliciously obtuse. This is my new phrase. Now, I got a bunch of bumper stickers. I got this. I've been building up for this one. Probably, you know, trying to get it, my concept down to a small kind of just bumper sticker. Maliciously obtuse. I'm going to define what that means in my head for you when we come back. Oh, I can't think of a better bumper sticker for these guys.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Who grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud? Rich now voices can't be heard. Just want to speak louder and louder and louder. What the hell are we fighting for?
Yeah! What are we fighting for? Here at the Clare, you're independent with me. How you do it. You go, I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form. It's a revolution between the years, man. You're going to get revolutionized. Yeehaw! All right. I feel better. Yeah, you know, you don't want it, man. You don't want to. I mean, you guys want to? You really want to? Okay, we want to. Here we go. So this is what happens, because we've done this before. And they don't care. They, them, those. You know, the guys with the badge, the guys with authority, the guys with the, you know, they perceived, you know, I got and you don't and we can get you and always and here we come thing. And I'm going, yeah, whatever. You know, I try not to be, you know, I any kind of a physical threat or anything. But they perceive it that way when they got a bunch of people going, man, I didn't know that. You know, hell, a lot of times they didn't know it. And they're going, wow, I, ooh. So this is, they see that as a physical threat. If you got people just, you know, pulling their sustenance from them or just their emotional, what's it, you know, propping up of whatever the heck they're doing, they're like, damn, they see that as a threat. You know, you're a terrorist. Oh, what are we hearing from Jesse Jackson? Oh, these guys are terrorists advocating for gun. Oh, they might as well be the Confederacy. Yeah, no guns for Negroes. Watch out from JPFO. And you find out that in the sickness, civil rights guys were being protected by armed black men, the Black Panthers and the Deacons and all these different groups. That's the only reason they even got to have their say and weren't beaten into submission is because they were arming themselves. Well, talk about that. Or just watch the video. No. So you don't want this stuff out. Hell no. So what's the next wave? Yeah, we're going to put them in South Phoenix. Minority communities. Yeah, we understand gun control. It's disarm you. So this is, and they'll get the information. They'll see it. They'll know it. They'll learn it. They got it. And they, you know, but they'll be maliciously obtuse. You know, I remember in Shawshank Redemption, you know, it's about the prison break and Tim Robbins was in it and Morgan Freeman was one of the inmates and so on. Many of you probably have seen it. I suggest it's a really good movie. It's one of those, you know, nice, you know, make you feel good at the end movies. Overcome adversity. Time and pressure. What happened was he, one of the guys, the warden wanted him to stay there because he was key to his financial empire, corruption, de la, whatever it was. And he gets some information from another inmate that knew that there was a way to prove his innocence. He didn't murder his wife. And he's going, look, man, he goes, no, you never, that doesn't matter. And you can't. He goes, whoa. Why are you being so obtuse? Is it intentional? Warden got really pissed, put him in solitary for a month or whatever. You know, why are you so obtuse? Is it intentional? If you look up obtuse, it's just, you know, it's, you know, obtuse angle. It's just dull. You know, it's just you're purposely avoiding facts. You got, no, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. I don't care. I say 3. I got the badge. 3. 1 + 1 = 3. Why are you being so obtuse? Is it intentional? 3. Go to prison. Get in solitary. 3. It's 3. Damn, 3. Shiny badge says 3-3. Okay? It gets to a point when you're dealing with, you know, most people, yeah, whatever. You can be stupid and, you know, that's where you're locked in. Fine. You know, the best you can do is, you know, just have them understand why you're so convinced that they're, you know, don't know what's going on. But when you're talking about bureaucrats, when you're talking about technocrats, when you're talking about politicians, when you're talking about law enforcement and those that get taxpayer funded, whatever, do what they're told or different rights organizations that in the name of and they got a mission, you know, it doesn't matter what you show them. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, explain, you know, a bunch of features about 9/11. You know, they go, dab, 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 dab. And it's not until some celebrity or somebody else does or they get or something. You know, it's amazing how deliberately obtuse they are to the point of being malicious, of it doing damage. When you have people in positions of power that they know and they don't care, they just do whatever they're going to do. Yeah, I know. They get to where they don't even want to talk to you anymore. They know that then they get into this cognitive dissonance thing and they have to make a choice. Once you start down the dark side, forever will it dominate your path. There are too many people that are exactly like that, that are in positions of power. And they know nothing else but force. And they want monopoly of force. Tell you what's going on right now. You look on Freedom's Phoenix. And this is the beginning. This is how it's going to start. World's biggest retirement fund considers selling its Japanese bonds. Yep. We'll begin talks in April about whether to reduce its 67% allocation to domestic bonds in Japan. Once Japan goes, this is what Kyle Bass has been going on about. You may see some of the stuff on Freedom's Phoenix. You can scream, man, you know, Japan is done. Ah, it didn't happen. Didn't happen. You said it was going to happen. Didn't happen. No. Didn't happen. Thursday night, I did a show with Adam Kokesh, Adam versus the Man. And when he got done, and he had it, and he sent it out, and so on, and I forwarded it to Michael Nystrom over at Daily Paul. And it wasn't even the intention. I mean, I have access. I could put it up if I wanted, you know, and so on, but I don't like, you know, messing with his site. It's his site. He can do what he wants, and I just, you know, kind of rather leave it up to him because he's more timely and when things have the right effect on his site. So I sent him, you know, with an explanation. I go, this is what's going on here. You know, it's kind of a paragraph. You know, this guy, this is doing this, and this is going to expect this. This is going to happen, and here you go. He put it up on top of Daily Paul, so it went boom. Well, I told JPFO and these guys, said, look, man, this is going to get, you know, Levolutionary is going to know. Now, this is not going to be a secret. Here we go. So I don't know, you know, by Saturday, if they even know, it's kind of a snowball effect, a cumulative effect. Because a lot of the guys, you know, that the guys are in the Republican Party around the nation, they go to Daily Paul. You know, a lot of these Levolutionary guys, you know, Ron Paul supporters and everything, they go there it is. They get the story, database. In Arizona, database. They start getting, they talk about database. Start seeing the movie. You know, they start hearing it from, you know, inside the political structure, the precinct committee, yada, yada, yada. You start going to go to their meetings, go to their different district things. These guys are starting to download it. Working with Nick now to make it to where it's permanently up somewhere on some server that, you know, it's going to take hours for people to download it. But, you know, cool. Whatever. This is, you know, here we go. This is how we work. And that's what they're afraid of. They're like, how do these guys, what? They're just informed. And we have access to different certain grapevine root points that, and if it wasn't these, it's 15 gazillion others. They don't understand. They can't comprehend it. It's called, you know, peer-to-peer or whatever the heck. You go BitTorrent and do it and whatever. They can't stop it. Can't stop the signal. You know, everything goes somewhere and I go everywhere. Mr. Universe kind of thing. You know, and there's a whole bunch of them out there. By the way, Nick's looking for a BitTorrent server provider, kind of what you guys listening, you know, hook me up, publisher at freedomsphoenix.com. Send me a thing. I'll put you guys in touch. Done. 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 It's already done. It's not like it's going to happen. It's done. Now, you think we did, I mean, and you think it's an Ernie thing. It's not. I just understand it. I see it. I know how these young people, I was them. Hypocrisy. Can't stand it. You lying sacks of snot. You know, I try and be nice with you, work with you, you know, try and warn you. You shouldn't take this to go this way. This is what's going to happen, everything. Too late, locked in. Why? You know, so you can, you know, sell your goodies, your stuff, keep your position, have influence, get invited to speak, whatever. You know, and what happens? Been at this for 100 years. These machines, we're not afraid, and we're not going away. And if you take out any one of us, it doesn't matter. It just amps up everyone else. It's a movement, and you don't get it. I can sit there and just walk them right through it, explain them. We even the people inside it, they'll go, I never saw a spontaneous order work before. I don't know how did that, what they, what? We all have our little thing that we put in and do and whatever, and I try and serve the movement as much as I can. It's going to get bad. You know, and we're creative. You know, somebody did, you know, what if we find out that, you know, it's an anonymous or somebody or a little activist or whatever flipped the lights off on the Super Bowl? You just do half of them. You know, you want to do them all. You just do half. You put a look and say hello. You think they're going to share that, you know, they do all their freaking, hell, they could have put in a program and a thing and a cell phone kind of switcher crap months ago. You know, these guys, they don't understand. You know, conquer is easy. Control is not. Well, they want to control. Like conquer. database. You know the bad guys by them being maliciously obtuse. They refuse to hear the truth, and they'll act in the most unfree ways, the most tyrannical, draconian ways, because they refuse to see what's happening around them, because they're looking out for their own paycheck from the man. It's that simple.